Friday afternoon deploy has 40%, nope, 8% of its net worth in Dogecoin. Shit. We got 128 gigabytes of shit. I'm recording all the tracks.
Here we
just,
go.
Just for shits and giggles. We got a room mic.
That's
definitely what we need for all of our voices in this room. A room mic.
It's a giant room full of very small voices.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be totally fine.
Working title for today's episode is "We haven't had time to podcast, and it's all Big Chris's fault."
Yeah, we blame him.
How do you respond, sir?
I accept any blame.
Good.
And all fault and responsibility. But it categorically misses the point in that I do nothing by myself. Casey, you and I do everything together always.
That's true. We're quite
so
the unit.
If you want to blame me for anything, you can turn those four fingers right back at yourself, young man.
Was I pointing four?
Three.
Did I give you, how many?
Well, you disarticulated your thumbs.
They have an unhealthy relationship.
You disarticulated your thumbs.
I gave him two Hollywood finger guns.
Yes.
And
channeling your inner Johnny Cage.
And so much of the work that we've done lately has either been referrals or follow-on work. And so
what you're saying is you haven't sold shit.
I'll take the credit and let the accountants know that I'm certainly taking all the credit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, since they're never going to listen to this, I can say the truth, which is that any success we've had is simply a reflection of how good our people are.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All we are doing when we go out and talk to people, which is what we spend all day every day doing, is talking to people or talking about how we're going to talk to people. All we are doing is spreading the good word.
Spreading the gospel.
Spreading the gospel.
Preaching the word
of Python.
Yep. Don't worry, I turned Alan's monitors off so he didn't hear you praising the output of the dev team.
Good.
We would hate for them to get complacent.
Well, it's, you know, we don't like to talk to people.
Mm-mm.
So that's where you guys come in.
It's a good thing I have one skill.
I don't like to talk to people either, but I've learned to appreciate talking to people who want to give me money.
Yeah.
And that's I was telling someone, I don't remember, because we've hired a bajillion people.
That's true.
And that's where we are right now.
That's why we've been so busy. Mm-hmm.
That's a formal amount. Bajillion.
One bajillion people. And in that process, one of them inevitably asked me about my transition from like a dev role into, because we get really insightful questions mm-hmm. from like candidates, and that's how I know we're going to hire them.
Yeah, we've gotten some good ones. Yeah.
And people like really want to know the why and the how, and it's more than just a conversation about, you know, benefits and comp. Someone has asked me about, you know, that transition and said like, oh, I couldn't do it. I'm too much of an introvert. And I was like, oh, I'm an introvert on a Myers-Briggs too. It's just that this is a character that I invented of what I imagine I needed to sound like when I wanted to talk to business people and make money. And that's it. It's just a continuation of that.
It worked.
I don't actually like talking to people either.
You have to go home and take a nap, I bet.
I like feeding my family. And I do, yes.
Yeah.
I do have to go home and nap.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm sure we've all come in different directions. And the neat thing for me now is that I'm really happy with the work we get to do, and I'm even more happy. And you and I have had this conversation a lot of times. I'd be the janitor here.
Mm-hmm.
I would. I'd be the janitor for Lofty.
I've done that job.
Yeah, me too.
We're all doing it.
Yeah, we all do it at times.
I've done this.
It's a better time in Lofty's history to be the janitor. I'll tell you that.
Oh, Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. I was going through old photos today. Because today I'm giving my, Lofty just turned 8 last week.
Yay.
Happy birthday to you.
We're as
happy
part of the,
birthday.
Give me the, can I get the Flight of the Conchords?
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I was going through old pictures and we were a little bit more wild and uncleanly of a bunch in the very early days. Being the janitor involved a lot of messes.
Yeah.
Both literal and figurative ones. Yeah, so it's cool. I'm very reflective of that because we've been growing like crazy. I think we're going to have 30 people on August 1st. We've definitely got 29, so it's just a matter of if we can get an offer out between now and then. And yeah, and we just turned 8. So it's like all happening at the same time. And then Chris decided to ask me to give a big speech to the team today.
I did. I thought it was
super fucking nostalgic.
I thought it was the right time and the right thing. And, you know,
I found a picture of Alan holding my child right after he was born.
That's so cool.
And I was like, that's going in the slideshow. Yeah. I found it actually. Well, you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see. I won't spoil it for the other folks. Yeah. They won't hear it yet, but I found a picture.
Well, they won't see any of it.
Yeah.
They just
the rest of the Lofty team.
Oh, okay.
Won't know until later.
That makes sense.
You guys can listen as part of this audience. I found a picture of like a 4-day-old Henry at the Lofty office. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got you, didn't it?
And that mofo starts kindergarten.
Yep. You've raised a school-age boy while you did this.
Yeah. You know what else has happened as I go through those pictures is, like, I was, like, actually decently fit. And then I became a father and a person running a company, and I've just gotten fatter. With some accidental blips in the middle where I stayed the same, but now I'm just getting fatter is what's happened.
Yeah, I mean.
But I'll have so much time to ride the Peloton when he goes to school.
That's obviously going to fix it. That's what's taking your time up right now.
You know what actually legitimately will help is me not dad taxing the rest of his meal, because he can eat his meal somewhere else and some other fat kid can eat his lunch.
That's how that works. That is how that works.
Mm-hmm. We call that dad taxing.
You going to finish them French fries?
I say if you want to go on the King's Highway, you have to pay his taxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I just take whatever I want off their plate.
Government.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right.
It's even the social studies lesson.
He's more straightforward about it than how the government does taxation.
This is true. They'd have some obscure paperwork and things.
They know up front what the duty's going to be at your house. Yeah. It's not like here where you have to guess.
And then if you're wrong, you go to jail?
Yeah.
That's the most fun, is they know the number, they just don't tell you. Mm. You just have to guess.
Yeah.
And if you're close, good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, jail.
Yeah. They have men with guns.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really neat. It's a really good setup.
So
we've been busy, man. It's
growing.
We still owe this audience a farewell to Tyrell episode. We're gonna get him back in.
Yep.
We're just like navigating, you know, whole bunch of schedules and stuff.
Logistics and
I've finally come to terms with the fact that it's not slowing down, because I keep just going, well, as soon as we get to this point.
15 was the number once upon a time.
My God. Yeah, you know when that number was? That was 3 months ago.
Huh.
Well, and like for us, it's like client benchstones, right? It's like once we get this project started.
This
project started, we'll take a breath.
Uh-huh.
We'll look at the org chart. We'll look at roles and responsibilities. We'll talk about moving people and teams and how we're going to handle that. And that was like fucking 8 months ago, man.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just not happening. And so I've realized that the only thing that can be done at this point is keep growing just as fast and buy my time back in other interesting ways.
Yeah.
So we'll be
interesting indeed.
Yeah, we'll be adding more overhead or something. We're gonna have more people on the business side taking some of this stuff. That's the only way to get time back to keep doing the stuff that we love, like this.
Right, like that. That's the real thing here, is that The growth is a reflection of the work that the team has done and is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, we have to continue to, first, we have to continue to do good work, which we're confident we can.
Mm-hmm.
We're confident we have the team and the tools to do that. But to apply them correctly, we have to find problems we're solving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the interesting situation now.
That's really what sales is for Lofty now, is like going out there and sourcing the right problem. We've got plenty of people that want us to build software for them. There's just a bunch of them that we go, not a fit.
And, you know, through Alan's hard work and other people on the teams, we've had some really amazing projects these last couple quarters that we are very, very excited about.
Yeah, it's been a good year.
It has. Sure. Oh my God. It has. But that means that this is a conversation that comes up a lot, is as we grow and we get better and we specialize, the deals get bigger.
Mm.
But the pool of clients we can work with gets exponentially smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Because the list of companies that actually need to do what we're doing shrinks significantly. But then for those companies, we're the only answer.
Yeah.
And so
once we find them and we get them in the room, it's just inevitable at that point,
right?
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so either the decision for them is either I give the Blockbuster Netflix analogy a lot, but the decision then for them is, do we build software and iterate and become a new company that can survive? Or are we not ready to handle that emotionally, intellectually, or financially?
Right.
And do we go out of business in 5 years?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, that's not a thing you just throw in a tweet and get a cold call back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, nope. We've got to sit down and we've got to be friends. Like, we have to know these people to be able to talk to them about what their problem actually is
so that
we can solve it with software.
We have broken bread with every client that we've done business with, like, prior to actually being engaged with them over the last, I don't know, probably 18 months to 2 years, right? That's just what it looks like now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super cool. I met with, and I owe this guy a follow-up, a guy, his last name is Mears, and I can't remember his first name. Mr. Mears, we'll call
him. Yeah, that makes sense.
He's one of the principals at a firm up in Kansas City that's got a really cool spot. They're in the old TWA airline building. You know that? And it's a company called Barclay. And they're just like my understanding from the outside is this is probably like a 50-year-old ad firm.
I am very familiar with them.
And they've grown, and they've got some, probably a 300 headcount, maybe more, a lot of stuff in healthcare.
They have real accounts there.
They have real accounts. I mean, these are like, this is like big old school ad agency turned digital, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was probably when we were at our lowest in like the depths of the COVID slump that we hit where it was really looking its most bleak.
I get the 1,000-yard stare all of a sudden.
It was like, it was like there have been a couple of slumps, right? There's been a couple of really bumpy spots along the way at Lofty, and Alan's probably seen every one of them. Mm-hmm. I think you've been through, one of them was like, welcome to the team, watch this shit.
Yeah.
It was like right after he started.
Yeah.
But we've had a couple slumps, but like two of them were like self-inflicted, like people fucked up. Or like someone got screwed or something like that. That was the first time that it was like the company's good.
Yeah.
The people are good. Everything's right. And we just have a fucking market condition that is like decimating not just us. I mean, it hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
And like it also for a lot of people turned around, even for us by the end of 2020, it was like a full 180. Mm-hmm. But like there for a little while, we're working exclusively in R&D and everyone thought, remember this? Like when COVID happened, everyone thought the fucking markets were going to collapse because there was like a 2-week downturn.
Yeah.
And then like everyone's fucking index funds doubled by the end of it.
Yeah.
But like companies that we work with where we're doing like pretty expensive R&D type work, they're like, we don't know what the fuck's going to happen. The last thing we're going to do is spend a bunch
of cash.
Cash
might not be solvent
exactly.
in 18 months.
And so they said, we're going to hang on to cash. We're going to keep it on the balance sheet. We can't just be blowing money on R&D. If it's the rest of the operation, it's one thing. So it slowed things down for a little bit, and we're a cash-intensive business. And, it was at the bottom of that. I called this guy at Barclay to just benchmark. Be like, what am I doing? Am I doing this right? Am I doing it wrong? What should I be thinking about? And I don't know. I got some really good advice from him through that period, and it's kind of fun to look back now where we are and kind of see. I owe him a follow-up.
Mm.
He didn't tell me anything I didn't already know,
yeah.
But he just kind of reiterated it. And one of the things he told me, he was like, once you pull this off, and it was about positioning and our identity as a company and figuring out who our customer was and how we talk about it. He was like, he said, I had the same conversation with someone else and they pulled it off and they were really successful. And he came back to me and said like, hey, you didn't tell me how much I'd be on a fucking airplane. And he said, yeah, I did.
He just didn't know it.
Yeah. And as I'm looking at my travel schedule for the rest of the year, I'm going like, shit, he told me I'd be on an airplane and he was fucking right. This is part of why it's been hard to get in here and record an episode is like I have only been home 50% of my time in the last couple. Part of that was a big trip that I took with the family, but you get the point.
Yeah, you know, we talked about travel some with new hires, and we're writing the copy, and it's like maybe a couple times a year. And then Casey and I are looking at our calendars, and it's like, actually, once a month. Once a month is the expectation. And again, that's a sign of growth and something we're very thankful for.
As we're moving up, we're working on bigger problems.
Mm-hmm.
Our client base is shrinking, our potential
significantly.
Client base, but it's shrinking, and it's very good projects, and they're expensive. The cost is going up, and you just don't sign contracts of that size and volume without getting on an airplane and going and see somebody.
Yeah, right? You don't.
We just don't do that over a Zoom call.
You don't sit down in a vintage Bentley. You don't buy a vintage Bentley without sitting down in it first.
Exactly,
and that's the thing. That's what's happening right here. You're buying a custom Lamborghini.
We let every client sit in Chris's lap before.
Well, it's luxurious.
That's right.
Why,
here's Big Chris.
Why wouldn't they?
Go ahead, take him for a spin.
Yeah, that's right. But maybe not in your actual car because I might not fit.
Mm-mm, no.
Just so you're clear. If that was an expectation.
The better the client fit, the less likely it is that Chris fits in their car.
I was telling Casey this story. I had a ad agency boss for a very short amount of time. It was my mid-20s, and I was just so angsty, and I was like, it's time for me to run a company. Like, I need to have a C next to my name. It's time. Mm-hmm. I know what to do. I've read the books. I read the blogs. I know what to do. And I'm a middle manager at a semi-successful company. I'm ready to run anything. And so I got an offer from an old timer who didn't want to give his company to his son. So just a great situation to walk into.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like dramatic.
And
like,
every single person I talked to about it was like, don't do it. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm 24. Obviously, I know what's better.
I'm pretty much a fucking grown up.
Yes. Yeah, like, I know what to do. And this guy was a multimillionaire in his 70s and realized his son was an idiot. And he was about to hand him his retirement fund to manage.
Right.
And he was like, can't do this.
Yep.
And so he heard me speak at something and then was like, asked me to lunch the next day. And
hey, kid, you know computers.
Like, seconds into the meal, he was like, do you like your job? And I was like, everybody like, I like getting paid. Like, clearly then it was like everyone knew immediately what was happening. And he was just like dead ass. Like, my son's an idiot. I can't let him run this company to the ground. Do you want to come in as the CMO and then take over in 6 months when I retire? And I was like, fuck yeah. Give me that check, homie.
I'm your dude.
Yeah, for sure. But not only was that a great learning experience because it ended in about 90 days.
90 days, how long that lasted?
90 days. And it was literally the first time I stood up and said, you're wrong. And he was like, you're fired. That is exactly what happened.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't understand that I wasn't brought in to tell this man the truth about his business because I assumed he wanted his business to stay in business.
Right.
Why else would you pay this much for an employee?
Yeah.
But I was wrong. That was not what he wanted. But
that's what he needed. Yes. But his ego had other ideas.
No, but the thing he did have was an extensive collection of Porsches that he was very proud of.
As you are.
As you would be.
Yeah.
Of course.
If you had, you know, grown up with dirt floors and then had 30 Porsches. Mm-hmm. And the best part
I've got one out of two in my background. Right? One out of two.
Right?
There's still time, though.
fuck yeah, man. This guy's like 70. He can get there.
Yeah.
But it was like, he was one of those people that didn't like ask if he wanted to do something. He was like, come ride in my Porsche with me. I couldn't fit in most of them. And so I'm in this like torture chamber origami fold.
Imagine
while
you're
this
getting
70
in a
year old. Yeah. Fuck yeah. With this 70 year old just is so excited about whatever 1963 fucking Porsche dropping it in fourth gear on a city street. Oh my God. It was fucking horrible.
That
so, no,
awesome.
I'm not doing that with you.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Yeah. Yep,
I will not be riding in your Porsches.
I don't own any Porsches.
Me neither.
I will take your work.
I did own a
we
Fiat
will do your work
for a while.
There you go.
But I will not
so
ride
the Fiat
Porsche.
Gone?
It's gone. I sold it.
Understood.
Yeah.
There was something about, there's an appeal to that form factor vehicle for my travel lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that depending on who you ask, you either can or can't tow that car.
Right.
And the actual answer is
that seems ambiguous.
The actual answer is that you can't unless you're the type of person that thinks that just letting it idle with the transmission in neutral and the windows down and
so
the
it doesn't
heat
catch on fire.
The heat on max so that the heater core actually vents some of the heat through the engine so it doesn't overheat back there and you just ride like that for 9 hours, you can totally flat tow a Fiat.
Yeah, it's good for them that
no
way.
Big, yeah, of course it is.
I just,
that's why yours lasted so long.
Uh-huh.
You hear shit like that and you're like, that's not real. No one really thought that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, it happens every day.
Mm-hmm. That,
people
yeah.
just do amazing
no,
things.
No, dude was like, the dude that shared this information, of course, on the old internet. I don't know if you've been on there.
Yeah,
but
it's only facts.
There's information. Mm-hmm. Full
factoids.
Of facts.
Only factoids.
He was like, I'm 120,000 miles. Never had a problem. I was like, I mean, like, never? Not once? Come
you're
on.
Not,
like,
you're
it
not
never started raining with all his windows down?
You're not replacing
like,
that radiator every 6 weeks?
Yeah, it did it not did ever run out of gas because
can
you can't
get
see
a flat
it?
And not notice back there? Well, and,
that could happen
you know,
with anything.
Yeah.
But that's why you get the
getting
tire
a flat on a trailer or a tongue pull apparatus is different than a flat toe blowing out a tire.
It's a whole thing. Well, that was, I just brought us
way off
Let's
topic.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah, here we go.
Alan, you've been writing code.
Yeah.
How's
I've been
life,
known to.
How's life in the
coding
code mines?
Yeah.
What's that?
You know,
how's the digits?
It's good. It's busy. But, you know, kind of like Chris was saying, it's, you know, it's problems we want to solve and things and people we want to talk about and solve their problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better than, you know, I love startups. They're great.
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't? But
if we didn't have them, we wouldn't have had Silicon Valley as a TV show, and that was really enjoyable.
It was really
it's without a doubt the best thing startups have ever given us.
100%. I stand by that.
A little bit of entertainment there, you know? Yeah. Just thinking about, you know, basically working for a case of beer sometimes. And you know?
Well, in equity.
Yeah.
Which is worth less than the case of beer,
Oh, the equity is the best when the company hasn't started yet. But it will.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When it does,
uh-huh.
You can have a percentage.
Yeah, of the thing. That will be worth something if we sell it, maybe, at some point or another. Who knows? Anything could happen. You could become a billionaire. That is also a possibility, including one of the other possibilities might be it's worth check shit.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not worth the paper it's printed on.
Correct.
Indeed.
Most of the time.
Uh-huh. Most of the
time. It's a sad time for me to be saying that because VC-funded startups are being fucking gutted right now. There's about 1 million people on the market due to... have you heard they're RIFs now? Not layoffs. It's just an RI. Just a little RIF.
Yeah,
a little reduction in force. That's the nice way we say it now.
That's one of the things that we can, I think... be proud of is that in this market we've continued to grow.
I bitched about this the nomenclature that was being used in this because we've got some people that we're interviewing right now, victim of an RAF, and I was telling Hobbs about it, and he was like, "What the hell's an RAF?" And I told him, and he was like, "If we ever have to lay people off, don't fucking word salad it." And I was like, "I'm not. I'm gonna call it reducing our carbon footprint with less feet."
Exactly. Yeah. We have less carbon-based footprints.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Exactly.
Can we get any credits for that? I'll check into it. Mm. I'll see if we get any credits for reducing our
blue
carbon.
Is that what blue carbon
That's
is?
That's what blue carbon is.
Okay, cool.
I've read the book. I've watched the videos.
You've read the blogs.
I've read the blogs, too, though. That's where you get the information.
Uh-huh,
right?
Totally.
That's where you get
I was
current.
Trying to say something nice.
Sorry.
And you just wanted to be a butthead.
We don't do
I know,
that
I wanted to.
We rarely do that.
That's not what this is for.
That's
unless
true.
It's about Putain.
He's not wrong.
Ooh.
I really just wanted to make my carbon footprint joke.
No, that's
sorry.
A good. Yeah. No. That's a. That is worth any diversion necessary. Any carbon footprint jokes. I'm so here for.
Do you remember what you were going to say?
I'm
going to let you finish.
Mm. I'm going to let you finish. yes. Not only have we've been able to grow a company inside a downturn that has put lots of companies in the ground, we've been able to help people, and not as a favor, we've been able to get more amazing people on our team that were jettisoned from their previous organization through no fault of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in so many of these, and I've seen it in traditional corporate America, but what happens in so many of these fund-founded or fund-supported companies is that they decide they're going to do a reduction in force.
A RIF.
And it's a headcount. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with product operations or delivery.
Nope.
And it has nothing to do with that person's output or their work.
No, they don't even stack order rank like people's value to the company.
And
just like you're on that team, you're gone.
I mean, and it sucks and it's horrible.
We're going to keep a bunch of people who are like, we have documentation that they're underperforming, but everyone on that team from A players to C players are all gone.
Yep. And so being able to, you know, have a company with more people in it, more experience, more knowledge, but also frankly for us, it's a feeding frenzy on talent right now because these companies are so flagrantly misoperated.
Yep.
And many stronger words are also correct about how poorly they're operating their businesses. But companies like us that are still fully remote and have no intention of making our engineers come back to in person, we are just bathing in talent right now.
Well, and people would think, you would look at it and go like, well, I mean, how do these companies have all this good talent if they're so poorly operated? And this is like the state of VC-funded stuff. Like, think about the pretense of a company like that is by design, and it goes to all of its investors that are funding it and just like puts on a fucking slide deck right in front of their faces. We're not going to be profitable. We're just going to spend all of your money. And this is how we think we'll get to the part where other people's money gets into play. and then you can get out.
Yep.
But like, it's like operating an entire company wholly under the pretense of like, oh, we're not gonna be solvent. No, that's not the plan. That's not even, that doesn't even hit the strategy. You come in here and start talking profits, you don't get it.
The entire system around that is built to raise money through funding or debt rounds every 18 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't have to be appropriately operated. And what happened is, like, this doesn't need to turn to a finance podcast, but as the Fed was trying to deal with inflation and the velocity of money decreased and the interest rate went up, banks no longer had access to as much capital, which meant that investors no longer had access to the same amount of capital, which meant that the next time they went for rounds inside the cycle, companies that would have just gotten a check and they could have just decided what amount they were going to fill it out for couldn't even get meetings.
Yeah.
So it's not that there were down rounds.
Mm-mm.
They couldn't even get money.
No. Mm-hmm. It was,
and so companies, they're left with this playbook they've been running for years, right? Some of them 10 plus years they've been running this playbook. And it's not that they have to have a down round. It's not that they have to tighten their market fit. They literally get no check this year.
Yeah.
And it's over.
It's like going from a place where it's like, hey, we've got 18 months of runway. This is awesome. We're going to be, it's going perfectly to plan,
right,
to a new, you know, economic climate in which they go, we have to figure out how to run this company and we're not going to be able to do a raise for 3 years.
At least.
Yeah. And that's killing people. It sucks.
We're hiring though.
We are hiring. If you're the victim of such debauchery, come on over here and don't ask me about equity.
Equity,
we don't
stupid.
Have it.
Because we don't give it.
You know what?
And you don't want it.
Hey,
we actually give you a real job with real pay. Yeah. And, you know, equity in a profitable company is different than equity in a fake company with other people's money, because equity in a real company means that if this shit hits the fan, I put more money in. And you don't want to be in that position.
Yeah, you don't want to be liable for that.
The money actually goes both directions when there's actual cash flow in a company.
This is a pro tip.
Mm-hmm.
Get as much money as you can and invest it yourself.
Yep.
Do that.
Big fan.
Do it that way. Mm-hmm. And then your retirement and wealth opportunities are not directly attached to where you also get your money from.
Yeah.
Right.
And also goofy ass eccentric bastards like me that might just crash the plane. Just crash the plane to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Just see getting what that bored.
For fun.
Getting
for
bored. Because I took my money out and invested it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Guys,
see what we can do with this thing.
He's waist deep in Dogecoin right now.
Oh my God. So much Doge.
To the moon, my brother.
It's the moon. It's the dog. It's the emu or the
emu. The emu dog.
What am I thinking? Shiba Inu.
Shiba Inu.
Thank you.
Shiba Inu.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you guys have heard about emu coin. It's like ostrich coin. You just bury your head in the sand.
Yeah.
And
it's not a descriptor of people who buy coins. It's an actual coin.
It's an actual coin.
Hey-o.
That you have to meet that description in order to buy.
Well, I think they are. I think they all already are.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, crypto bros.
You heard it here second.
Well, and this is how we lose two of our patrons.
Yeah. Listen, I support everyone.
They were selling 0.0000001 Bitcoin every month to pay our $2 patron fee.
Until they seem we didn't appreciate it.
Yeah. So, well, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
I love wasting my money, too. No judgment. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I have
some disposable income.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend an inappropriate amount of wine, money on wine this weekend. Like, I get it. I love wasting my money. It's super fun.
Yeah.
I just don't need to talk. I don't need to hear you talk about why it's really smart.
That's true. The Bitcoin also doesn't have, you know, you can't taste the tannins as well. It doesn't have the legs.
Yeah, you can't get the terroir.
Uh-huh.
You can't get the terroir from a Bitcoin.
No, totally not.
I get
plus
that.
It scratches the glass.
It does.
When you wiggle it around.
Wiggle it.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. It's very gauche at a party.
I have some Bitcoin that someone gave me at home. I paid cash for it.
Yeah.
And like the best part about it, I didn't know this, is that when you peel the wrapper off, it's just chocolate.
I had no idea.
And now I understand why I paid so much money for
that
it.
That makes sense.
It's really good Bitcoin. And it comes in all kinds of colors.
Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight.
It's more like Mardi Gras colors, the one that I got.
Oh, yeah.
It's got some purples and some greens in there.
I always thought the purple coins were the coolest. I got to be honest.
Oh, for the Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
Or even for the Bitcoin?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
Both. Why not?
I agree.
Yeah, this is informative.
Well, Man, I'm sorry to the Bitcoin bros, but yeah. like also it's been
we are very smart. We can hold two thoughts in our head at once.
Yeah.
We're smart. We can hold two thoughts in our head at once.
Thank you.
We can feel, we can understand that there's a broken, corrupt system mm-hmm. and that the existence of altcoins is a reflection of the monetary policy and the banking policy in the Western world.
100%.
So that is a fact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. well put.
We can also understand that these people have been exploited and lied to, the people who are taken advantage of, who lack economic opportunities, who are seeing make all these choices in their lives, right? Like Bitcoin is a way to exploit them.
Mm-hmm.
For being stupid.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And like we can hold both things in our head, right?
It's, like it's that, not like the fundamental design of Bitcoin is just a very convenient weapon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
people
they're
that are dumb.
And the thing is that people have been selling their own book since commodities have existed.
Mm-hmm.
People have been like, my snake oil is the best. It will cure you.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people were looking for a cure when they bought the snake oil.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people were like, hell yeah, I'm going to sell this and get rich.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And while both things are flawed and broken, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of people that have been taken advantage of by snake oil salesmen that had no economic opportunity and thought that this was their ticket out.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought in, and the Winklevoss twins and the guys running these funds knew what they were doing, and they took advantage of these people. And those people should have known better.
Hey,
both things can be true.
Did you see that the actor that played the Winklevoss twins in the Social
God,
Network
I know where this is, going.
Is like an actual cannibal?
I saw that. It's so uncomfortable.
That dude's fucking crazy.
What?
I was on Twitter. Like, I was on Twitter in real time when this happened.
What's his name? He's got
Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer.
So somebody.
Is that his name?
Yeah, it's his real name.
Jeez. So there's
his grandfather's name was Armand Hammer. That's not a joke.
I don't even know what's real anymore.
But he was not named after the deodorant or the baking soda brand. He was named after Arm & Hammer, the symbolism of socialism.
Ah, yeah.
So Arm & Hammer had a grandson named Armie Hammer. Anyway.
Huh.
Yeah, so
yeah.
In real time, there's some news article that comes out about him, or like somebody leaks like he's kind of creepy. It was uncomfortable.
He like had a he had a secret Instagram profile that got exposed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then like multiple ex-girlfriends in real time on Twitter were like, "No, he's going to drink your blood."
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And the Earth was like, "Holy shit!"
The Winklevi?
This is fucking
real. The Winklevi
real.
Do that? Yeah.
They row crew and they drink blood.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had started a documentary on cannibals. This reminds me of that I didn't finish it, and then it got buried in all the suggestions of things to watch that, you know.
That are
like,
now
you watched
all
this
cannibalism,
the last time.
Right?
Here
yeah.
you go.
I, yeah. Man, like the second.
They were tracking them on a forum and stuff. It was
oh, like
crazy
real
thing.
People? Like.
Actual
in America, like in the Western world now.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's so fucked up.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, because what they had done, they uncovered a market where people sell themselves.
Yeah.
That's the other crazy thing. There are people who want to be eaten.
They like after they die. Like a
well,
like a,
I mean, you have
like
to.
An organ donor thing.
No,
well,
I mean,
not necessarily. I mean, you can cut a chunk off and sell it.
That's true.
If I got a few extra chunks they could cut off. To be honest, I'm gonna get some extra off me.
I mean, like
a lot of torso.
See, that's where mine was mentally there. I said I'm long on chunks.
Yeah. Like, plenty of chunks.
But I think these are people that would want them to kill them, and that's
oh fuck.
That's where we're at as a species.
We don't have to be. You know? Well,
it's
I guess
time.
Like, if I don't know what people want, it don't have to be murdered
it's,
for it. You can just
it's
die.
Time for the asteroid.
I
just
thought
send
it was
that. Just time. We're done. We're done. It's
can we
just
get,
it's over.
But
hey, can we get a comment over here? Or something?
just end this
we
shit.
We need to reset.
End this shit. Let the dinosaurs have it back. This
ready
is
for the check
we
over
fucked
here.
It up.
Yeah, you know. But in that same vein, that's another cool thing about the work that we're doing. Back, you know,
cannibalism
programming. No. We to be clear.
He ate the third client.
The only cannibalism we do here is maybe on our own code basis.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes we eat a little bit, put this over there.
Hey-o.
Yeah,
there you go. But we're solving problems that matter while it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. You know, we're getting to tackle some of the problems.
Oh,
that...
we got a climate angle on just about every goddamn thing we're working on.
Without,
I love
without
that
even meaning
shit.
To,
we're
right?
Doing our
yeah,
bit.
Like,
totally.
Without even meaning to, it just
right?
happened. There's,
yeah.
And I think that's probably a forward-looking indicator of companies that have access to capital and can do things, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Like if there's not an ESG opportunity for you should you be long on your company, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. or do you need to have your pivot moment?
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, ESG is environmental sustainability. What's the G? Governance.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Correct. It's about...
It's the hot new buzzword.
Governance is DEI,
circles.
Right? Governance yeah. is diversity, multiple stakeholder capitalism, that kind of fun stuff.
Right. Mm. But it's showing up everywhere.
Everywhere.
And there's a boatload of companies that were too dumb to get on top of their carbon outputs, and they're going to be spending a whole lot of money on other people who are sequestering carbon for them. And
okie dokie.
sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got super cool stuff, whether it's our ag projects or energy projects. I mean, all of them have some sustainability angle. Mm-hmm. You can tie it back to climate change very directly in some of them and indirectly in others. But yeah. that's cool, mm-hmm. man. That's what's like really changed about Lofty's client base. As I go through and I went through this old, you know, the whole history.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, you'll see, Alan.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk the whole team through it today. And
it's going to be great.
It's a photo history of Lofty over the last 8 years, and it starts with one desk and one chair, and it ends with photos of this office that I took this morning.
That's awesome.
And somewhere along the way, there's a point at which we started doing the first version of what is now our upfront strategic discovery work.
Right, right.
And
so we used to do that for free. We didn't
we
know
did.
Any better.
Yeah, we thought that was just part of closing
we thought, well,
deals.
We thought they would then have us do the work, but that
now,
wasn't always the case.
Now it's the paid engagement in which our clients fall in love with us and will never leave, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine, we as a company would not, we would not be what we are today. We would still be some struggling version of that company, or we would have died through one of the gaps because we hadn't figured it out. In one of those hard times that I mentioned earlier that like we barely made it out of, that might have been the difference of us not making it out. And because, I mean, you know, we actually not only is it like essential to doing the work right, we actually make, you know, that's become a revenue line for us that's significant.
Well, it's
company.
Got a lot of value. Yeah.
Totally. It turned out it was some of the most concentrated mm-hmm. value we deliver mm-hmm. that we were giving away for free, hoping to get a long term, you know, mm-hmm. like contract to do the plumbing work.
Right.
On the architecture that we built.
Yeah.
And the plumbing work's good, too. I don't mean to demean it. You know, I've been in there.
Yeah.
I've laid pipe, too.
Yeah.
Preach.
I saw you. Anyway, yeah, there's like some early versions of that discovery work. And the ones that I have that I documented, which I think might be most of them, because at the very least, I've got photos of like the boards that we put up on the walls just for my own note keeping, right? To go copy it down into a backlog later. I took pictures of all these things.
Remember when you had to write stuff down and take pictures of it?
I mean, it's all over the walls.
And that was
we used to use actual sticky notes.
Information.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all handwritten. No, but you're right. And that's there. What's really interesting about that as I go through those is, in those same photos of like, look, it's our first discovery work. It's also our first ag client and our first engineering client. And we didn't even know. I didn't make the decision for 3 more fucking years that was going to be the angle, that was going to be the point that we sharpened into.
Yeah.
Right. And all of those projects had an ESG angle to it. And it was all right there. Like all the pieces were there. And it was several years later when it all finally kind of came together and it was like, oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And then we go, oh, yeah, that's it. And we snap our fingers and we've tripled the company.
Yeah.
Just like, boom, in 2 years like that.
That's why
it's just wild.
It's kind of organic in that sense.
It is.
That's we had a potential hire I was talking to the other day that was like, you know, give me a little bit of the history of Lofty. And I was like, well, I won't do it justice, but I'll try to do a condensed Casey version.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 good points.
Yeah,
along
I don't
know.
That sounds very condensed from the Casey version.
Yeah,
I don't do 3 points, man.
I would imagine. Yeah,
that's
I've got 50 slides so far, and I'm going to finish them after this podcast.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's a really interesting point. I think it's the right way to think about companies because companies grow up like kids,
mm-hmm.
and you start off and you don't know what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and you either had a decision.
They go through a drunken phase,
like it just it's how it, it, how it works.
It till you make it. Yeah.
Every company is a teenager at some point.
Oh yeah,
right. Yep. Where you're like, you still like Legos, but you're attracted to people, but you like still want to play with your Legos. But then you're like, you get the feelings and you don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
Every company.
Then you show your Legos to the client and they're like, no.
No, not what we're looking for.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. It's awkward.
But right, like we can see that in Lofty. You can see it in any company, but we can see it in Lofty really well. And it feels like we've made this transition where we're finding people that are really excited to work at the company we built.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And we're not. It's not that we're not asking people to come build a company with us anymore. We're telling people the story of the company we made and how we think they can be part of it with us.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, like
we should write that down somewhere. That was good.
That's a different thing, man.
I have been
having a different thing. You made a thing and we got to be part of it.
Yeah.
But it's a thing now. And we have a hire we were really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And it would like
who accepted their offer this morning.
So excited that he accepted and he's going to be an amazing asset for the team. But there's this realization and conversation between you and I that we don't need him to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be.
Yeah.
We have to be.
Yeah.
We have to be willing to do the really hard things and make it up every day in a good way. But say, hey, we're going to leverage our skills, time, tool, and talents, the ability of our teammates, and we're going to figure it out because every mouth in this building's got to eat and we're going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody doesn't need to be that way anymore.
Totally.
We need people who are excellent at doing what they do and we will empower them to go do it.
Mm.
And they don't have to do this. We got it.
It's very different. It's very different because in the beginning, everyone needed to be a little bit of an entrepreneur.
A little bit of everything. Right? Yeah.
Like
which
just,
is great, right? You built so many skills
right,
as a generalist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone had to be willing to jump off that cliff with, you know, less parachute than they really ought to have had.
Probably a little below the rating.
But like, it's like, here's a bobbin of thread. And
I'll throw you a shirt on the way down.
Pretty sure you can get it built before you get down there.
I drew a plan from memory on this piece of notebook paper. It's going to be fine. Let's go.
Yeah.
And like,
it'll be fun.
As I go through the history of the company and I look at all these things at every kind of stop point along the way, I've given a version of this history, and at every moment in it, like every individual moment along that history, no matter how ridiculously goofy, like underdeveloped of a thing this was from the very beginning when it was just like folding chairs.
Yep, Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Exactly, right? Like, at every moment, in that particular moment, I was sitting there going like, this is fucking it. We did it.
Yep.
We're here, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, as it gets, you know, that was the first moment. And then all the other moments along the way, we look back at the other moments going, ha ha, that was dumb. Now we've got it figured out. We've got two folding chairs.
That's
or
right.
Whatever it was. And, like, I don't even know now because, like, I look at it and it's a very stark contrast between the company we have today and the company we had 3 years ago. Mm. Is the biggest transformation we've gone through yet. And we've gone through a couple. You can kind of see it in the timeline of, like, little changes and then a big change and then little change and then a big change. We're in this transformation. But at some point, I'm going to go look at those pictures that I took this morning to give some version of this talk, and maybe it's the 10-year, and I'm going to go, oh, my God, we built our own podcast studio?
Like, yeah, we spent our time fucking gluing this shit on the wall.
Why didn't
you
we,
came up here at night and fucking installed this shit.
Why didn't we have the facilities department build the podcast studio?
Oh, wait. Charles didn't start for 2 more years.
Yeah, that's right. And
we didn't even have a maintenance guy yet.
Who was the sound engineer? this podcast sounds like shit.
Yeah, get the producer on the phone.
Did they have a room mic on? And that's a callback.
Well, that's he threw it back to the beginning, and we gotta go.
Yeah,
I got stuff to do. I mean, not that this isn't important. We're gonna try and get in this damn studio and do more of these.
More
but
often,
y'all be patient with us. We're going through it, and if you want us to record more often, why don't you apply for all these fucking jobs that we have open?
Yeah, give us some more time.
If you would just fill those positions,
we'll give
out,
you a bunch
I'll
of money.
Time, yeah,
and some cool shit to do.
You'll get cool shit to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a. You know, bunch of money. It's subjective.
No.
It depends on where you live and your interpretation.
Casey, stop hedging. We pay well. Stop hedging.
I'm joking.
Okay, all right. Well, sometimes
you're
serious.
I'm trying to weed the gold diggers out,
Chris. Sometimes you're serious.
Trying to weed the gold diggers out.
Gold diggers will weed themselves out by being shitheads.
That's true.
Fuck them.
Yeah, they can't help it.
They ask about the equity plan when they come in. Yeah.
The equity plan is fuck off.
Oh, what a week What a month, eight years, whatever the hell it's been, yeah. Man. It's wild. It's been a while. It's been 3 months. It's been the wildest 3 months in the history of it all. And like
we're just getting started, man.
I'm starting to extrapolate out what it looks like going forward, and it gets real scary. Started. And then I just look back at what's on my plate right now.
Exactly.
I get a lecture about how we're not actually going to hire that many people, and I'm like, okay, man, all right.
I know. Chris just keeps shaking his head at me. I'm just like, well, Chris thinks we're going to need 50 people.
Okay.
Okay. He hasn't been wrong yet.
Okay.
He's batting pretty good.
You're the boss.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Love you guys.
Catch you next time. XOXO.
Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow at Friday Deploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes for this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. For inquiries into guest appearances, sponsorships, or the current length of Alan's beard, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.